The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. What will we make of it? What will we do here in this final hour of the week, April 12th, our buddy Mike Gallagher, is he in Seattle yet? I asked him, yes. It's kind of funny. Of course, we had the whole OJ thing, passing of OJ, and I kind of needled him a little bit. It's weird. I got to navigate that 14-hour time difference. Didn't want to leave him something at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, you wouldn't want to join us again on Friday. And he said, I totally would, but I'll be on a plane headed back to a 4-hour layover in Seattle on the way back to his flight. It's like 20 hours to get back to his house from Japan. So I'm sure he'll be all grousing about that on Monday, which will be enormously entertaining as Mike comes back to us on Monday. So whatever you got planned for the weekend, let's officially proclaim it, shall we? It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear.
I mean, if you're going to celebrate Pat Travers' birthday, and I am, got to go to a little heat in the street. God, what's the time signature on this record?
The pressure's on, I feel it. That's it in the street.
Not big in the dance clubs.
When I'm a leader, I gotta be the street.
I don't think Pat cares. The great Pat Travers, Canadian guitar ace, he is 70. I 866-660-5759. Sure, let him get to the hook. So good. Love me some Pat Travers. Happy birthday. Alrighty, 866-660-5759. Death of OJ. What does that say to you, do to you, put you in the memory hole there for the mid-90s? And it was weird, as I was observing. Got some interesting contributions on the Viaskin of Las Colinas text line. I said, listen, you could be 40 and not really have a big memory of the whole OJ phenomenon because you were like busy being 10. And I guess that's just, it's weird because when, not that this is apples and apples, but at roughly my 10, 11-year-old juncture, that's the Apollo 1 fire. Lord knows I remember that. Assassinations of Dr. King and Bobby Kennedy. There's some things that even if you're not, paying daily attention to the news like your mom and dad are, there are things that force their way into your consciousness because it's just suddenly everybody's talking about it and it's instantly becomes front of mind. So let's take, as we talk about another football player in trouble, Rashee Rice actually did not kill anyone, but boy, he could have. And so what are we going to do with this? It is apparently 8 charges, which he did indeed present himself to answer for. The warrant was issued for him I guess, day before yesterday, and this is the local kid. Local kid made good. I mean, made so good. Super Bowl ring good, please. You know, from Tarrant County to, was he at Richland, right? To SMU, to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a good gig. If you can be, you know, catching balls from Patrick Mahomes, that's a good thing. And it'll get you a Super Bowl ring. And it did. And so Marvin Hurst at Channel 11 observed, you know, sending it back to the Doug Dunbar and Nicole, Doug and Nicole back at the studio. It's like, it's kind of interesting that just 2 months ago, we were, you know, watching this guy win the Super Bowl right here on CBS.
Well, 2 months later, I'm standing outside of the DeSoto Police Department jail right over there where he bonded out on 8 criminal charges.
This is the picture Rasheem Marquand Rice knew he'd have to eventually take. It comes after an investigation into a multi-vehicle crash on March the 30th on the North Central Expressway near University Boulevard. Dallas police say he was racing in a rented Lamborghini SUV before crashing on the highway. Also under investigation, SMU wide receiver Teddy Knox, who investigators say was driving the Corvette that Saturday evening. Police say the football suspects and the others walked away from the scene.
Meanwhile, Teddy Knox has been suspended at SMU, which is, as we take a look at, you know, consequences and accountability, which we properly do, is, you know, NFL draft is days away, and it's obviously off season, but it'll be, you know, training camp before we know it. Time for the Cowboys to break our hearts again and, you know, make that plan. Time for the Chiefs to maybe go try to win another Super Bowl. Should Rashee Rice be permitted to be a part of that? I mean, the wheels of justice do what they do. And I don't know. It's kind of funny. I'm like trying to research what people usually get for jail time if it's a first-time offense, but you nearly kill a bunch of people and you leave the scene and you've got a bunch of weed in the car. I mean, isn't anybody going to, you know, have an iron door closed behind them for a couple of days when they've done that? And you know that's not going to happen with this young man. You know it. Royce West ain't going to let that happen. But then you get to the notion of what the NFL should do. Now, the NFL will let you beat the holy hell out of a woman and still play. We've proven that time and time and time again. So we'll see if maybe this gets the attention of Roger Goodell. Anyway, that's down the road.
Rice admitted to driving the luxury car and tried to take responsibility for the injuries and the damage. In the meantime, SMU suspended Knox from the team when police told them about the case. On the investigation, Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia says in part, quote, "This case was conducted as all cases are conducted, thorough and fair, as that is what all victims deserve and what our city demands." End quote.
So, Doug and Nicole, we're hoping to learn a lot more about this case when those criminal affidavits become available tomorrow morning. By the way, Rice is facing a charge of aggravated assault, collision with serious bodily injury, and 6 counts of collision with injury. Knox facing those very same charges, but we have no confirmation or word of his arrest or surrender tonight.
Now, that's kind of interesting. Nicole Baker thing. I blanked on her last name. So Mr. Knox, current SMU wide receiver, which Rashee Rice used to be, wonder if the wheels of justice will turn a little differently for, because I don't know. And what an interesting moment, because how the wheels of justice turn for people based on their fame, based on their wealth, and interestingly, based on their race. This is wild. I mean, after a long history, I mean, there are plenty of pockmarks in American history where indeed, black folks could not get a fair shake. Totally. Please. Understand. And so in 1995, a jury decided to sort of push the pendulum back the other way and strike a little blow there. And
and it was just a stain. And as I said earlier, I understand the human nature element of this. It's like, decades and not centuries of injustice, maybe there's a little something we can do, you know, now by helping an obviously guilty black man go free. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, except it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
This point is, it is a pursuit, and unfortunately it has a lot of mitigating circumstances because of the high profile of the proposed suspect that's inside the vehicle, which could possibly be and appears to be at this time O.J. Simpson.
It was June 17th, 1994. I won't say it seems like it was yesterday because it doesn't, but it doesn't seem like it was. I mean, I guess we will now anyway. Wonder what would O.J. have said about that? Would he have had a big old Twitter video about that on the 30th anniversary of the murders? One wonders. Because it's weird, because he almost, I mean, there was the I Want to Tell You. Wasn't there another book called If I Did It? It's like, dude. I mean, it's something resembling a conscience trying to fight its way out. I don't know.
It was the most dramatic and heart-stopping moment of this trial. In front of the jury, O.J. Simpson tried on the gloves prosecutors say he was wearing the night he murdered his ex-wife.
Now, this drove me insane. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. The stupid gloves. Gloves laden with moisture, either water or dew or, I don't know, blood, might shrink a little bit. Wouldn't you say? Also, I can take a pair of gloves that fit me just fine and make it look like I can't put them on to save my life. Spread your fingers out like a duck's webbed feet and those gloves ain't going on. So just the simple science here and some bad acting, good grief.
He tried to show the gloves do not fit.
It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
And that was, and if you look for the video, if you look at the video of this, it's Johnny Cochran putting on a wool cap. And he says, listen, if I put this cap on, I'm still O.J. Simpson. I'm obviously still O.J. Simpson. And it doesn't matter to the degree to which it fits. The gloves matter to the extent to which they fit. And the great Norm MacDonald made reference, I think, the following Saturday on the Weekend Update anchor desk. That Johnny Cochran, put on a wool skin cap in an attempt to make a point about O.J., at which point O.J. might have hurt his own case by saying, hey, be careful with that. That's my lucky stabbing cap. I miss Norm. Oh, how I miss Norm.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
October 3rd. 1995. I don't remember that like it was yesterday, but that doesn't seem like it was 29 years ago, does it? October 3rd, 1995. On that day, it's not like the first time that I'd gotten a snootful of how Black America and White America see things differently. I mean, that's a narrative that runs through human history and changes, obviously, for the better, starting with, as we work our way through the end of slavery, and then it's not like things got way better for Black folk immediately there. It took almost 100 years to get from the end of slavery to the actual Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act, things like that. But then as the 60s become the 70s, become the 80s, progress is on, societally speaking, a pretty fast track. But then you get to the 90s, and you get this? That did not do race relations a favor. It just didn't. And many, many things ensued and unfolded thereafter that did not do race relations a favor. And the point being that, and this point I made last hour, that if you've had injustice, the way to make progress is with justice. If you've had bias, if you've had mistreatment, the way to make progress is to purge those things from your system. The last thing you do is, turn some evil mirror back and say, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to start letting Black guys go free. Or we're going to start, making all the white folks pay reparations when they were never slave owners and pay it to people who were never slaves. Hey, great idea. This is how race relations get destroyed. 922. Okay, guess what just happened? My buddy from our sales management team, Keith Nagengast, just popped in. He saw Civil War last night, and he is like shell-shocked. And so I asked him, I said, look, does it just beat you to death politically? He said, not really. He says it's just daunting, and he says it's almost an indictment of media shallowness more than anything else. I said, well, is it like liberal states seceding to get away from a Trumpian president? Because Nick Offerman certainly does look like a Trumpian president. But the states that secede almost did. Succeed, sorry. I scold others for doing that. The states that secede are, you ready? Texas, Florida, and California. What? One of the compliments that I could pay to the film is it is conditionally, potentially, if it does not beat you over the head with a political agenda. So I'm going to see this over the weekend, and I'll get back to you about it on Monday. All right, listen, I'll tell you what, let's do. So got very weird story out of Plano. Jobin Panicker, Channel 8. And just once the doggone deal, I know Plano's not unique in this regard, but in some strip shopping center, you got the Asian foot massage place, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, they're all filled with trafficking. And we used to talk about this 20-some years ago, like along Harry Hines. It's like, how do you not shut these things down? How do you not send one vice cop in, and like 3 minutes later, it's like, you got the goods. And so, huh? Well, now you're getting all these things cropping up. And if there's anybody you want to hear weigh in on the OJ death and the OJ legacy, it's Stephen A. Smith. He was on Hannity last night. Got to listen to that as well. So there's a little of what I got for the home stretch half hour. You may contribute as well. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 930. Here's Nikki in the newsroom.
If you had just a minute to breathe, and they granted you one final wish.
1971.
Would you ask for something?
The Boys of Traffic.
Like another chance.
Obviously, you got mega young Stevie Winwood there on the mic. But Dave Mason in the formative stages of the band Traffic.
Don't worry too much.
And what's the act, I guess, is called Dave Mason's Traffic Jam because the lawyers made him call it something different. And they were set, and the remnants of Jefferson Starship were set to open for them. And that was at Longhorn Ballroom south of downtown Dallas, it was supposed to be this week. Date change. And this is now officially, I guess, things need to get rescheduled. But yeah, we just recently had the Billy Joel Stevie Nicks reschedule, right? And everybody just loved that. It was apparently great. They finally got to it. Wasn't that a better part of a year? Because tours are complicated. I mean, if somebody gets sick or something happens, you know, you can't exactly go, well, let's do it the following night. Hey, they got stuff to do, place to go. One of the articles said it had to be canceled because Stevie Nicks got COVID. No, she didn't. Like, somebody in her band got COVID. I said, we can't find somebody to play those records. I know that seems very flippant and very dismissive. And I know it's like the streets are not totally filled with everybody that is immediately conversant on guitar. The entire Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks solo library. I don't know. Okay. All right. They finally got that show down. Anyway, Dave Mason, don't know if the Starship is still attached to that, but new date for that at the Longhorn Ballroom is now. You got some time here. September 14th. All right. Very, very good. Well, Sean Hannity gave some time to, I got to tell you, I agree with him sometimes, sometimes not. He's never dull. Stephen A. Smith asked by Hannity, what would you have done if you had been on the OJ jury?
Oh, he would have been under the jail. He wouldn't have got off, not if I was on that jury. There's no question about it. I mean, he was guilty as hell. The forensic evidence, the circumstantial evidence, and the manner in which the murders took place, it was clearly a crime of passion. And when you look at some of the things that they had articulated about his past, his relationship with Nicole Brown Simpson, some of the things that he had done to her, the Gloria Allreds and others obviously have spoken very eloquently about this over the years. It was clear that there was such a preponderance of evidence against him that, you know, he deserved to be in jail for the rest of his life at the very least. The flip side to it, however, is I certainly wasn't surprised at the verdict, and I wasn't surprised at the reasons that ultimately jurors confessed years later. In the aftermath of the Rodney King situation in Los Angeles, the history of brutality on the part of some police officers when it came to the LAPD against residents of LA that happened to be African Americans, you knew it was one of those situations where it wasn't about OJ's innocence that people were looking at. It was about indicting the LAPD. That ultimately is why O.J. Simpson got off. He got off for two reasons. Number one, to indict the LAPD. And number two, because Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden, two people we don't talk about enough, did an absolutely horrendous job. There is no way around it. All of these years later, 1995, now we talk about nearly 30 years later. Let us not forget, you don't ask this man months later to try on a glove. He doesn't take his medication. His hands and fingers swell. It wasn't going to fit. They kind of knew it. And ultimately, it was depicted in a series, if I remember correctly, where Johnny Cochran had coaxed Christopher Darden to go against the wishes of Marsha Clark and convince him to force OJ to try on a glove. Once folks saw that it wasn't going to fit, it was exactly the nugget that he needed to ultimately say, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit, and ultimately get OJ Simpson off of double murder.
Stephen A. Smith, he just got it. He would have been under the jail. All right, let's go to the movies. When I first saw this trailer, we played it, and now it is out, and my antennae, the plural, are up because I'm always looking for, you know, political bludgeoning at the movies. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And I think I've talked to like two or three people now who actually have seen it and say this does not necessarily beat you to death politically, even though as the trailer, again, for Civil War, out now from the always creative A24 studios, here you go. It begins. America's cities are smoldering and the United States Army's ramping up activity because some states, I think 16, 19 of them, have seceded.
Ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Who's the three-term president? Well, it's Nick Offerman playing somebody who comes off somewhat Trumpy.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Helicopters fill the sky, unrest fills the streets.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California,
Nick Offerman as president,
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Our heroine is Kirsten Dunst, who is a journeywoman, reporter who's covered war zones for a long time, but never like this, never in her own country, not like this.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if?
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
Boom. What kind of American are you?
You don't know?
The Western Force.
forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car!
The Western forces will reach the White House. This isn't just seceding, like, leave us alone, we're going to go away now, form our own country. This is apparently aggression against the sitting administration from some of the seceding states.
You're going to hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
As invading forces work their way,
God bless America,
into the Oval Office. Oh my gosh, Civil War, it's out. So Richard Roper, who's been reviewing movies like forever, says that it shocks the senses. He writes, in writer-director Alex Garland's purely fictional yet searing and brutal and highly charged dystopian Civil War, the USA, the United States are no longer united, and rebel forces have accumulated military-grade tanks, helicopters, Humvees, and weapons. The nation is in danger of being engulfed in the flames of a self-inflicted fire, and it's a shock to the senses to witness this madness. So yes, it's a film sure to inspire much debate, and no doubt some will call it alarming in its prescience. I wouldn't go that far. We are a nation deeply divided, but an actual real civil war hardly seems imminent. I would agree. Still, with horrific wars raging in other parts of the world and with politically charged violence part of the fabric of our country, civil war will hit home no matter where you live. The script by Alex Garland, who wrote Ex Machina, where a guy like wins a contest to go visit the CEO of the lofty, super futuristic tech firm that he works for, and the guy shows him a little special project. It's a special project, all right? It's a robot woman played by, what's her name, Alicia Vikander. And it's like, hey, how human is she? Well, there are a number of ways to find that out. I know not just that. But anyway, but Ex Machina was really good. And so Alex Garland is behind that, too. Anyway, the script by him makes it clear we're in a parallel universe. This is not an anti-MAGA screed. Mm-hmm. Nor is it an indictment of wokeness. In Civil War, California and Texas have seceded from the Union to form the Western Forces and are hell-bent on overthrowing an isolated and megalomaniacal third-term president, Nick Offerman, who has disbanded the FBI and authorized air and ground strikes to combat the rebels. There are other insurrectionist factions, including one called the Florida Alliance. Chaos rules the day. The story of civil war is told not via the politicians and the soldiers, but through the experiences of a group of journalists who have embarked on a perilous, perhaps suicidal mission to make their way to Washington, D.C., in what could be the final days of the war. Whereas the most memorable films about wartime correspondents, like Year of Living Dangerously, Salvador, Under Fire, Killing Fields, have been set in foreign lands, what makes civil war so jarring is that the scenes of bombs going off in the night, looters tortured, rebels summarily executed, are taking place in New York, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. So, all right. Civil war. There we go. All right, bringing things home. Might as well do a little local story. And hey, why not the seedy world of human trafficking? This is so weird. Every once in a while, you'll get a story like this, and here is one, Jobin Panicker, out in Plano, because, hey, shocker, we found another quote-unquote foot massage place where it's more than feet getting massaged, and, well, anyway, we'll just go from there.
This is now the second massage spa the city of Plano has gone after recently, and there may be more, and not just with police, but with civil papers.
Plano is taking a different approach to address what they feel are ongoing illicit activities at Red Rose Spa.
It's not making a dent in anything. Like I said, they're just, you know, they're paying their fines and they're moving on.
That is Jennifer Chapman of the Plano Police. It's not making a dent. They're paying the fines and moving on. Why can't you squash this out like a bug? Why isn't this the easiest thing in the world to find?
Tell us, this massage spa along Custer has seen citations, arrests for prostitution, and now this, a civil suit, which they hope will yield a huge return in vital information about the trafficking networks.
I'm still healing from that trauma, even though it was
30 years ago.
Chong Kim is an advocate for victims. She tells us she is a survivor trafficked at massage spas in three different states. She's encouraged by the civil suit, says it's different.
I think it's great. It hurts them where it hurts the most, their wallet.
We went up to Red Rose Spa. A woman up front invited us in.
I'll bet she did. The camera crew left well back in the truck, I guess.
We told her we were with WFAA working a story. She showed us, then let us take pictures of these cards pinned to the walls over the massage tables.
This is great. So you got a massage table. And an index card thumbtacked to the wall.
The cards read, they do not engage in prostitution.
It says, we will inform our guests, we Red Rose Spa do not engage in prostitution. Thanks. Okay.
That's common. That's very common. If you have nothing to hide, why do you need to put up a sign?
Their overtly sexualized marketing, Chong says, is a red flag. The woman inside the spa spoke limited English. When asked about the allegations, she said simply, this is wrong information. Police say Red Rose Spa has been under investigation for years.
Red Rose Foot Spa?
Years?
Over that time, it has changed names four times.
Aurora Health Massage.
Police say as a way to circumvent licenses and records.
The offenses are occurring, and it's just a matter of keeping up with all the activity.
Okay. That's I don't know. I can't imagine how this is hard to police and hard to stamp out. I don't know. Anyway, but God bless Plano. Good for them. At least they're doing something. All righty. 9:50. Little exit ramp tune next. Vince Gill is 67 today. So let's go back. I hit this album earlier with Everybody's Sweetheart. It's his second album called The Way Back Home. And this is Cinderella. She's just tired of being Cinderella. She don't play that game no more. You better be careful, because the next time she walks through my door, she's just tired. She won't be Cinderella no more. Let him sing it. He does a better job of it. For producer Ron DeKay Marlin on the Twitter at producer Ron DeKay, RONDA, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy this weather. Go Rangers. Let's beat those Astros. Again, a little revisit. Mike is back on Monday. And, of course, so am I with a little revisit of weekend news stories. See you then on 660 AM The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.